live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. It is your favorite part of the day. As current sports is now underway, I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this Tuesday, July 30th. Oh my goodness, we've got one more day in the month of July, and then we turn the page to August. And you can feel football in the air, right? I mean, it's inching closer and closer. When you talk August, you talk football. And we will be doing that on today's current sports. There are a few topics I want to touch on. You know, but before I do, I just got really excited because our very own news director, Reginald Hardwick, he just flagged me down in the hallway. And, you know, he passed me a press release that highlights three young men by the name of Michael Lynn III, Matthew Abdullah, and Rajay Williams. Now, if those names ring a bell, it's because those three young men were right here live on Current Sports, sitting in these chairs that I'm staring at right now in front of me, when they decided to kneel during the national anthem as football players for Lansing Catholic High School. And that was a big, big topic here in the local community. And they even gained national attention because Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, who started this movement to raise awareness for social injustice here in America, for inequality here in America. We all know that Cap started this as a form of protest for those very things. And these three young men were so inspired by Cap, they began to kneel during the national anthem before Lansing Catholic High School football games. And, you know, they gained so much attention that Cap actually sent them a tweet and gave them a huge shout out. And I was so impressed with how well spoken all three of these young men were when we had them on the show. And if you haven't heard, the Democratic presidential primary debates will be taking place tonight and tomorrow in Detroit, I believe at the Fox Theater. And when Democrat Beto O'Rourke takes the stage in the second round of the presidential primary debate, so I'm assuming that will be tomorrow on Wednesday, Michael Lynn III, Matthew Abdullah, and Rajay Williams will be present. That is awesome stuff. I just got this press release, and it reads like this. When Democrat Beto O'Rourke takes the stage for the second round of the primary debates on Tuesday, three young black men from Michigan who were inspired by ex-NFL player Colin Kaepernick to kneel during the national anthem before their high school football games will be in the audience as guest of the former Texas congressman. O'Rourke reached out to ex-Lansing Catholic High School football players Michael Lynn III, Matthew Abdullah, and Rajay Williams, and spoke with them by phone last week. Teammate Kabash Richards is away at college and unable to attend the debate. I remember Kabash, yeah, he was also, I believe we also had him in studio as well. O'Rourke, whose defense of NFL players who chose to take a knee to protest police brutality and racism went viral in 2018, learned of the men's story, and found them through, quote, general local outreach, his campaign said. In a statement to the Associated Press on Monday, O'Rourke said the four, quote, have served their community in one of the most American ways possible. So that is fantastic stuff. So all three of these young men, with the exception of Kabash Richards, will be in attendance for the presidential primary debate. And I'm pretty sure O'Rourke is going to acknowledge them at some point live on CNN and they'll get a shout out. That is amazing, amazing stuff. So I just wanted to pass that news along to the Lansing community and to, you know, remind you all to keep a lookout for those three young men either tonight or tomorrow. I'm assuming tomorrow, but you never know. Whenever Beto O'Rourke engages in the debate, you should see those three young men at some point. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff there. All right. On today's current sports, we're talking football. I want to talk about the Michigan State football ticket price situation. And there are a few reasons why you can get Michigan State football ticket prices for dirt cheap right now. It's pretty obvious why. I'll explain. Also, we'll highlight the Michigan State non-league schedule, Michigan State basketball, men's basketball non-league schedule. I'll pour through a few updated Detroit Lions training camp storylines that may catch your ear. Don't miss that. Also, I'm a bit annoyed at this story. Roger Goodell and officials of the NFL will face questions about the NFC title game. Remember the clear pass interference that the referees didn't throw the flag on, that many fans, especially those out in NOLA, believe led to the Saints losing that title game. Got to get something off my chest when it comes to that conversation. And also got to get something else off my chest concerning my Dallas Cowboys and this whole Ezekiel Elliott holdout situation. So, loaded hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's talk Michigan State men's basketball first. The first home game of the season follows on Sunday, November 10th, as MSU men's basketball will host Binghamton, a member of the American East Conference, at the Breslin Center. MSU hits the road on Thursday, November 14th, to play Seton Hall as part of the Gavitt Tip-Off Games, a series of games between members of the Big Ten and the Big Ten East Conferences. The Spartans return home to play Charleston Southern on Monday, November 18th, in a regional game in the Maui Invitational, and MSU will then head to Hawaii for the remainder of the Maui Invitational from Monday, November 25th to Wednesday, November 27th, opening up play against Virginia Tech. The winner of that game will play either Dayton or Georgia on Tuesday, November 26th. And of course, as this game has been highly publicized, Michigan State will host Duke on Tuesday, December 3rd, at the Breslin Center in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. MSU will play its final three non-league games against in-state rivals, starting with an in-state matchup against Oakland University at Little Caesars Arena in the D, downtown Detroit, on Saturday, December 14th. Then return home to host EMU, Eastern Michigan, on Saturday, December 21st. And then we'll host Western on either Sunday, December 29th, or Monday, December 30th. So the details, again, of this non-league schedule released yesterday by Michigan State Athletics. We all knew about some of the games that would take place, including that Duke game, but now you have a few dates that you can mark on your calendar and try, yes, try to get tickets to. All right, this is the last Tuesday this summer of the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, and this is the playoffs, folks. Tonight, you can catch Team Roots taking on Team Exclusive at 6 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., Team Citron will take on Team Dimension. And to finish up the night slate, it will be at 8 p.m., Team Freeze versus Team Cosmic. Again, this decides who makes it into the semifinals that will take place on Thursday, and the championship game will take place that same night as well, with a brief intermission after the two semifinal games are said and done. All right, the Detroit Tigers actually won. Are you kidding me? Jordan Zimmermann, he got his first win in 18 starts dating to last season, ending a skid of 10 consecutive losing decisions as the Old English D beat the LA Angels 7-2 Monday night. Yeah, celebrate, baby. Celebrate. Yeah, it was Jay-Z's first victory since September 5th of 2018. Celebrate good times. Come on, folks. So, game two tonight at 10:07 p.m., the Detroit Tigers could possibly go on a winning streak. Haven't said that often this season. Zimmermann avoided setting a team record for most consecutive starts without a win, having already tied Adam Moreno and his stretch of 17 starts during the 2002-03 seasons. All right, the Detroit Pistons have some news for you all when it comes to their G League team. After spending one season as a drive assistant, Donnie Tindall will be named head coach. Pistons senior advisor Ed Stefanski confirmed that news to the Detroit Free Press. A native of Grand Rapids, Tindall found success at Morehead State and Southern Mississippi before landing the head coaching job at Tennessee back in 2014. Now, Tennessee went 16-16 in his only season. He was fired because of an investigation into his previous job at Southern Mississippi. It was given a 10-year show cause by the NCAA for violations. But he is now the head coach of the Pistons G League squad, Donnie Tindall. All right. The Kansas City Chiefs star wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He suffered a right leg injury during training camp practice today and has been diagnosed with a bruised quad, per ESPN's Adam Schefter. Now, the Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, are clearly trying to figure out what they will do without their star running back in Ezekiel Elliott at this point. In fact, club owner Jerry Jones even made recent comments that the Cowboys, quote, don't have to have a rushing champ to win a Super Bowl.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a point. I'm going to double back to this conversation later on this hour, but he's got a point. Now, the team has brought in reinforcements in the form of former Cowboy Alfred Morris to help fill in while Elliott is not at camp. In two seasons with the Cowboys, 2016-17, Morris rushed for 790 yards on 184 carries with three touchdowns. But Irvin clearly feels that no one can replace Elliott. I believe that's Michael Irvin. So, yeah, there you have that. This is an interesting conversation, and I feel like more and more, and I feel like Le'Veon Bell is the one who spearheaded this, more and more we are seeing players not happy with their contracts and deciding to hold out of camp until they receive a new contract. So, speaking of former Michigan State running back, great Le'Veon Bell. For Le'Veon, and most likely for many fantasy owners, an apology was long overdue, but the New York Jets running back has finally made amends. Bell took to Twitter on Monday to apologize to fantasy football owners who drafted him in 2018. I'm glad I did not. A year in which he played Well, you know what? Actually, Le'Veon, thank you for that apology, because I did, in one of my leagues, I did draft you, and you did not play all of last season. Again, that's a year in which he played a grand total of zero games due to a season-long contractual dispute with the Pittsburgh Steelers, his home for the first 5 years of his career. Quote, this is long overdue, but I want to take a moment to apologize to all the fantasy owners who picked me last year. I'm sorry I couldn't pull through for y'all, but trust me, this year's about to be way different. I'm bringing the, and then he has two trophy emojis, this year. And then he's got the purple demon emojis, two of those as well. So Le'Veon Bell apologizes to anybody who drafted him in last year's fantasy football draft. Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass. Connor, I'm curious, Did you draft Le'Veon in any of your fantasy football leagues? Do you even play?
No, I play fantasy football, but I did not draft him because I saw the writing on the wall in August when he said he was holding out for forever, and then when the Steelers weren't doing too hot without him.
I kept holding on. I'm like, see, that was, okay, he may return this week. Okay, yeah. I'm not going
to. You should have just let go after about like week three. I know someone in one of my fantasy leagues had him and was offered a trade for him in week three, and he had a nice little package. I think he even would have gotten a draft pick this year, right. And he said nope.
Wow.
And he held on to him until like week nine.
I held on to him for a long, long time. Probably, yeah, maybe around like week eight or week nine. I don't know what I was thinking, but yeah, I was just holding on to hope. So yeah, thank you, Le'Veon, for that apology, I guess. All right. A Louisiana judge ordered that NFL commish Roger Goodell and three officials from January's NFC title game be questioned under oath in September about the infamous no call that helped the L.A. Rams beat the New Orleans Saints in January's NFC title game. A lawyer made that announcement on Monday. Attorney Antonio Lamont, who filed a lawsuit over the game that advanced the Rams to the Super Bowl. Yeah, this is crazy, right? Said he and league attorneys will pick a mutually agreeable date for depositions in NOLA, barring any league appeals that might delay or cancel the questioning. Now, Lamont's lawsuit seeks $75,000 in damages to be donated to charity over the failure to flag a pass interference or roughness penalty against Rams corner Nickell Robey Coleman for his helmet-to-helmet hit on receiver Tommy Lee Lewis well before a pass arrived. Now, the no-call came at a crucial point in the game against the New Orleans Saints. The Rams won, advanced to the Super Bowl, but as I have gone on the record to say numerous times, that is not the reason the Saints did not compete in the Super Bowl. As you see, I'm already getting heated right now. Not going to waste my rant so early on in the show. Lexi Thompson wrapped up her round, at the Avion Championship on Sunday in France on the golf course and was preparing to make the trek north to the Woburn Golf Club in England ahead of this week's Women's British Open. Yet, when she got to the airport in Switzerland to catch a flight to the United Kingdom, there was one problem. She did not have her passport. Her mistake ended up costing 38 other golfers a day of practice, too. Wright didn't up getting to Woburn Golf Club until about, 5 p.m. on Monday night. Many players naturally weren't happy about Thompson's mistake either, which delayed their preparation for the fourth and final major of the season. This is coming from Ryan O'Toole, saying via the Golf Channel, quote, I don't know why the driver would agree to accommodate one person knowing it will punish about a third of the field. The driver should have said, hey, I've got to get these clubs to Woburn. If you want the passport, somebody's going to have to fly there to get it and bring it back. And that is a very good point. I don't know why this mistake from Lexi Thompson had to cost almost 40 other golfers some practice time at a pretty big event on the women's PGA Tour calendar. And last but not least, facing mounting public pressure in a fight over equitable pay, U.S. Soccer U.S. Soccer said the World Cup champion women's national team has been paid more than the men's team. According to a letter released Monday by U.S. Soccer President Carlos Cordero, the federation paid out $34.1 million in salary and game bonuses to the women between 2010 and 2018, as opposed to $26.4 million paid to the men. The total does not include the value of benefits received only by the women, like health care. So, there you have that. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving. right, folks. Again, if you missed the news I passed along to you all at the top of the hour, it is now on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, as well as on our Twitter page at WKAR News. As again, Democrat Beto O'Rourke, he will be inviting ex-Lansing Catholic High School football players Michael Lynn III, Matthew Abdullah, and Rajay Williams, who kneeled before their respective high school football games in honor of ex-NFL player Colin Kaepernick, to protest inequality here in America. So Beto O'Rourke will be inviting those fantastic young men, and I'm pretty sure giving them a shout-out during the debates that will be broadcast on CNN tonight and tomorrow. Again, I believe that Beto O'Rourke, I have to double-check that, but I believe Beto O'Rourke will be hitting the stage in day two. Could be wrong, though. But in the press release, it says that the young men are at least meeting O'Rourke for the first time tonight. So, awesome stuff. Again, we have that full story on our website at WKAR.org, as well as on our Twitter page at Facebook. Well, excuse me, at WKAR News. And you can go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to read the story as well. So, it's up, it's live, and well-deserved for those young men. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, I just want to touch on Michigan State ticket prices, because this is a story I saw from Eric Lacey in the Lansing State Journal today. And Michigan State football ticket prices, I don't know if you've seen this, but MSU ticket prices are low, like really, really dirt cheap low right now. Tickets for some games at Spartan Stadium through secondary markets can be found online as low as about $6 or $10. I mean, that's crazy. Now, let's not kid ourselves here. When you look at the last five seasons for Michigan State football, ticket prices have been pretty low. And I think the primary reason for that, other than the up and down inconsistent play these last few years for MSU football, is because of the home schedule at Spartan Stadium. I mean, these games haven't been that sexy at Spartan Stadium. You know, and I actually went back to, you know, 5 years and looked at the schedule, and, you know, there weren't, unless Ohio State or Michigan, you know, if it was the year that you know, Michigan State was slated to host both Ohio State and Michigan, if that wasn't the case, I mean, you probably had one, maybe two sexy games on that Michigan State Spartan Stadium home game list that you were excited about going to. But other than that, I mean, you're looking at the schedule and, you know, again, just look at it. The past five seasons, you know, Michigan State playing at home against teams like Northwestern and Indiana and Illinois and Rutgers. And it's like, it's not like, you know, people are dying to pay to go see those games. So naturally, the ticket prices, they lower. Now, when it comes to Michigan State, when they host in-state rival Michigan, I mean, that game is always, I don't care where that game is played. I mean, that game could be on planet Pluto, and the ticket prices would be through the roof. People trying to pay to get on a spaceship to see that, right? I mean, that's just the rivalry, you know? And right now, looking at that game, which will be in A Squared in Ann Arbor this upcoming season, looking at things, the average cost of a ticket sold is $265. That's amazing. That is amazing. So, you know, that game does numbers, period. But other than that, I mean, again, if you look at websites right now who sell college football tickets, And you look at the home slate for Spartan Stadium, you need to, if you're a Michigan State fan and you haven't purchased tickets yet for this upcoming season, pounce on it right now. I don't think it's that urgent, though, because I don't think these ticket prices are going to fluctuate much as the dates for these games and this home schedule come nearer and nearer. But my goodness, you know, this is truly an unexciting home schedule that I believe is the primary reason for why we are seeing dirt cheap prices. I mean, let's look at the home schedule right now for Michigan State football. Tulsa to open up the year a month from today on August 30th. Then you play Western on September 7th. Arizona State, I guess. You know, you're hosting Arizona State, a team on the West Coast. You're looking for some revenge there, but Indiana, huh? Penn State, maybe. All right. Illinois, ugh. And then Maryland to close out the year. I mean, what? There aren't any sexy games there. There really aren't. Because you play Michigan and Ohio State on the road. And your non-conference games, Tulsa, Western, and Arizona State are just, okay. You know, it's not like they're Notre Dame or anything like that, right? So, you know, the ticket prices are really, really dirt cheap. And last week, according to this piece done by Eric Lacey, last week MSU's athletic department put single home game tickets on sale for $50 to $80 per seat. And now tickets for some games, again, through those secondary markets, can be found online for as low as $6 and $10 per seat. Look at the seven home opponents that I just listed in Tulsa, Western, Arizona State, Indiana, Penn State, Illinois, and Maryland. They have a combined record of 40 and 47 last season. Ugly. And only one team in Penn State finished the season ranked in the top 25. And the Nittany Lions don't visit East Lansing until October 26th. And when it comes to that game, you can find seats, lower bowl seats, for less than $50 a piece. So the question I have to my Michigan State fans out there listening is, how bad of a look is this for Michigan State football? Because, you know, I think to a certain degree, you know, Michigan State football has a say into how they want the schedule to pan out. You know, especially when it comes to of course, that non-conference schedule. And when you're looking at Tulsa, Western, and Arizona State, you know, this isn't, it's not like when you look at this year's schedule, though, and you compare it to recent history, it's not like this schedule is that much different from years past. This is what Michigan State does. You know, again, in years past, you know, the only big non-conference sexy game on MSU football schedule from what I saw is Notre Dame. Other than that, it's the usual suspects, like a Western, you know, or what, an Eastern Michigan. That's how it is. And already right now, in the climate that we live in as sports fans here in 2019, just overall, sports venues are having a hard time filling seats because technology has become so good. I mean, you can make a really good argument, and you may win that argument, that the at-home experience right now trumps being at an actual game. Especially when you talk about the sport of football and depending on, you know, where that game is being taken place, you know, in September, in November, in December, when the weather at times can be frightful. If you're not playing down south where the weather is, it's bearable. You know, you're talking about a Big Ten team, you know, you're sitting in snow, and you gotta layer up, and then you gotta pay for parking, and you're sitting there the whole time with a blanket over you. It's not always pleasant. So why not sit at home with your favorite beverage, with heat, bathroom is 10 feet away, and enjoy the game in HD, or excuse me, what is it, 4K now, where you can watch games. It looks incredible. Incredible on your big screen, flat screen TV. It's amazing. So overall, across the board, sports venues are having a hard time filling seats. Now, I think that for the traditional powerhouses, you know, no slight against Michigan State football, but if you look at the stands of a game at Alabama, where they live, breathe, and eat college football, a venue, you know, like LSU's, You know, historical powerhouses out in Texas. You know, Ohio State, despite the weather. I mean, people show up and show out for those games. Or for Michigan State, and we have highlighted this many, many times as well. I mean, just look at the student section for an average Michigan State game. You know, I mean, heck. I mean, can you imagine when the students come back and if it's a blowout against a team like Western or against a team like Indiana, against a team like Illinois? Heck, I have seen students against a squad like Ohio State, powerhouse, dip out early and hit the local bars. You know, it's like, my gosh, what is going on with Michigan State student section? And we've had the debate that I think they need to shrink it because students, you know, if you're not showing up, those seats should go to the public. Those seats should go to somebody else. But I'm nervous. I must admit, Connor, I'm a bit nervous, man, this upcoming year because this home schedule is not – it's great the football is being – you know, I sound so negative right now. It's great the college football is coming back. Spartan football is back. Yes, I'm excited about it. But – you know, we've talked about the problems when it comes to the student section and seats being filled, and then you look at the ticket prices for Michigan State. How nervous are you about, you know, butts in the stands for MSU football this upcoming year, and how surprised are you that the ticket prices are dirt cheap right now?
I'm not surprised, just like I wasn't surprised after the 3-9 year that the prices the next year were dirt cheap. It was easy to get a ticket. But, you know, I think part of it is it's not just that the home schedule is piss poor this year. It's... you know, last year, unless you're a football purist, the average football fan does not enjoy 60 minutes of pure defensive football. The football purists love that stuff, but the average fan isn't going to sit down like, oh man, Al, did you see there? Did you see the MSU defensive line? Did you see 20 tackles last game? People don't talk about that in the barbershop. They don't talk about that with their friends. They talk about the touchdowns, the interceptions, the highlight plays. When you have a team that's offense was just so bad, I don't blame people for not wanting to show up. I remember even going to bars for like some of the away games last year. And the worst one I can remember is the Nebraska game where nothing happened for 50 minutes. I mean, that's part of it is that the offense was embarrassing last year. Nothing happened. And granted, the football purists like me, who I love defensive football, were like, right, Okay, please, just a field goal, something.
And there's a reason for that as well, Connor. First off, the Big Ten, you know how Big Ten football is. It's like, you know, run the ball 1,000 times. You know, it's not like... It's not like watching an LA Rams or Kansas City Chiefs game, right? It's not like watching an SEC game, and they don't fling it around like that. I mean, heck, Mark D'Antonio, you know, historically he just doesn't. I've very rarely seen it, but I can't even. I was going to say at times he does, but no, he doesn't. He is run heavy, ground and pound. Mm-hmm. Throw it occasionally, which I'm curious to see if, you know, Brad Salem moving to offensive coordinator, if they change things up. But Michigan State football, already at its core, when it's at its prime, when it's rolling, already isn't that exciting, high-scoring brand of football. But when you add into the fact that you have a bad offense, then it really isn't fun to watch. You just want to, like, your eyes start bleeding watching
but
it, right?
But the other thing, too, is, like, there are other teams in the Big Ten that do this ground-and-pound stuff that we see. The Michigans, the Ohio State. Ohio State's a perfect example. They run the football a lot. They do, but they, you know, they're exciting because the runs break free. Things happen. So I think part of the lower ticket prices is the fact that the offense was so horrible last year. And I think the other part of it, too, is that me and Jack were talking about this the other day, that if you look around the Big Ten and you look at Michigan State Stadium, and I love Spartan Stadium. I mean, going there it's awesome. But there's no real attraction other than, hey, this is where the Spartans play football. There are other stadiums that have, let's say, some kind of stadium food that like stands them out, or there's something to their stadium experience. With Ohio State, there's the band that's legendary. Yeah. With Michigan, there's different aspects. With a bunch of these college arenas and even some like professional ones, there's something to bring you to that stadium other than the fact that, oh, well, you know, let's the Michigan State Spartans play here.
What would it be with the Big House to you?
I think partially the atmosphere. I mean, and then you know the bragging rights of that big screen. So yeah, you know, it's something else. So
right. I hear what you're saying. It's interesting because I think with Michigan, you know, because I've been and covered multiple games at the Big House now, and I just think it's such a unique stadium because it's underground and the sound kind of just goes up, you know, in that bowl formation. And I think
it's got a history to it. There's something to it with Spartan. Not to say that Spartan Stadium doesn't have that history, There's not like for. I think part of
Spartan Stadium is known for.
Exactly.
Okay, you're looking for like a signature thing that when you look at Spartan Stadium, that's what I – because I kind of hear what you're saying. And I think when the players come out with Michigan, they hit that – what is it? The M Club Blue?
It's something.
M Go Blue.
Or, you know, in other colleges, it's like at West Virginia, it's a big piece of coal that they hit. It's something unique. It's a spectacle because ultimately putting butts in the seats, yeah, you're always going to have football fans. There's always going to be a fan of your sport. But what are you going to do to get the person who's like, I don't really have something to do. I just kind of want to go out and do something. You have to have something to it that brings in someone who's maybe not a diehard football fan to come in and be like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
There's only so many Frisbees that Zeke can catch.
Yeah, and that doesn't even happen pregame. That's middle of the game. I mean,
right, exactly.
And that's the best passing play we see.
That's interesting, and I think that's such an interesting conversation, an interesting layer that you bring up, man. Because I think that there are many owners out there, you know, many execs out there who are looking at other franchises, not just in college football, but I'm talking about across the board in college basketball, in the NBA, because this is a wide, wide problem when it comes to ticket sales at games, especially if your franchise is not winning. Winning franchises, yeah, you show up. You know, if your team is winning, usually you're going to have a packed house, all right? Winning, if you build it, they will come. If you win, they will come. But if you're not winning and you're inconsistent, which Michigan State has a lot of question marks coming into this season, what can you do inside that venue, inside that arena, to make it a better experience for the fan that makes them want to show up, right? And I get what you're saying, Connor. Especially, you got to be creative, right?
Exactly, especially with football. Football is the closest thing we have to the old Coliseum. You're coming for the spectacle. You're not just coming for the game. So you need to have something that draws people in. Yeah. That draws people that wouldn't be, you know, regularly like, yeah.
And I'm seeing Steven here. Steven says, the MSU band is one of the best in the country. That's true. But it's how can I put this? It's too traditional. It's too old.
Exactly.
You got to do something to attract the young crowd, the young fan, the student section. All right, I hate to admit it, but if you want to be stuck in the past, you'll start to see, I guess, the same old same every single year when it comes to the student section. But Ohio State, they'll play some hip hop, you know, and they'll, you know, they did the Michael Jackson moonwalk. I mean, that band is unreal what they do.
It's the best in the country.
It's the best.
And it's a spectacle.
It is a spectacle. It kind of reminds me of HBCUs. I mean, HBCUs, you don't come for the game at an HBCU. You come for the band. And they play modern music. They dance. It is a show. It is a concert. Then Steven says we have Sparty. But, yeah, I mean, just about every school in America has some kind of mascot. Sparty alone is not going to draw fans and put butts in the seat. You got to do something out of the ordinary. Maybe it's a concert of some kind at halftime. I know that the Michigan State band always performs at halftime, but maybe you can incorporate the band with some group, you know, from time to time. You know, I don't know.
Or like you're revamp the concourse. Do something that, you know, gives a little bit of flash to it. And I think one other point too is, and this is kind of a Big Ten thing, and this is not really on Michigan State, but like honestly, alcohol sales, that'll bring people in, honestly.
And now that's the layer that I'm going to get to on tomorrow's Current Sports, because that is a discussion that has been had many, many times. And those who are against alcohol being sold in Spartan Stadium have some interesting points, some valid points, I think, because people are already getting liquored up. That's the college sports atmosphere. You tailgate, you get liquored up before the game. Would that create problems if you were to sell liquor in the stadium, knowing that a lot of these people are already getting a buzz in the parking lot tailgating? Would it lead to more fights? Would you have people, you know, upchucking everywhere? I don't know. You have to do it in a way to monitor it. But from a business standpoint, I don't know why you wouldn't make that move, right? Yeah, from a financial standpoint.
From a financial standpoint, why wouldn't you? I mean, part of the reason why the student section rolls in a little bit later than it does is because they're still trying to get that last bit of tailgating in before they have to go and not drink and most of the time not eat anything for a couple hours plus. So if you can add alcohol sales, and it doesn't have to be the whole game. There's stadiums across the country that do that.
They cut it off after the third quarter.
Yeah, the example I can think of is I went down to West Virginia to watch an Oklahoma game last year, and they have beer sales that run until I think it's like the 8 minute mark in the third quarter, and then they stop completely. So that that you know they can kind of curtail some of the problems you have with over intoxication. But it's just like serving alcohol at any other venue. I mean, to some extent,
or any other bar. I mean, if that bartender is looking at a guy and he's
slurring, stumbling,
yeah. I mean, if that brother looks off his rocker, he don't need another.
Exactly.
Shot, you know what I mean? So there's some common sense that plays into this thing as well. So
yeah
it's interesting. I'm going to read a few more of our comments on Facebook.com/WKAR News. And anybody out there listening, do you think that something needs to change at Spartan Stadium to enhance your fan experience? Want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, I want to comment on this, in my opinion, absolutely ludicrous story involving what happened in the NFC title game back in January. And looks as though NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and three officials will have to answer some questions. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Connor Mathis behind the glass. You know, Connor and I, we was chatting during that brief break, about what could happen at Spartan Stadium to spice up things. And, you know, we were talking about the food menu. And, yeah, I think they could definitely make some improvements with the food menu, Connor. Maybe even bring up, you know, the guy, the chef. Oh, his name eludes me right now. But the chef at Cooley Law School Stadium who does creative ideas every single summer at Cooley Law School during Lansing Lugnuts games. There's always something special on a baseball venue menu, you know, and I think that Spartan Stadium should try that. I don't know, man.
It doesn't have to be something extraordinary. It just something, at least something that
add
ties
some spice to it.
Add some spice to it. Add something that makes it, oh, this is food from East Lansing, Michigan. It's not like we have a shortage of good restaurants and good places or even like good little shops that make food around here. I mean, heck, just if you really want to do the bare minimum, get one of the food trucks come in. Sheesh.
Right. So Ben comments, and he is against alcohol sales at Spartan Stadium, saying, quote, Michigan State does not need to sell alcohol at its games because the students will get out of hand, and we already have fans sneaking alcohol into the stadium and they are getting wasted and causing problems in the stands, and it will only get worse if they sell alcohol at the home games, and we don't need that. How out of hand is it, Connor? I haven't heard it getting too crazy in the stands, have you?
In my time going to games, I've seen a couple people who were too far gone, but most of the time,
Pretty much in check, right?
Most of the time, it's pretty much in check. I have not seen a fight, like a physical fight at Spartan Stadium, at least in the student section. And the people who are usually too gone, usually their friends get them out of there pretty quickly.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's pretty self-checked in my experience there. Even
it's
like some of the
well.
Even some of the big games, even like the Oregon game that was just, you know, a couple of years ago, that was insane. Or, you know, some of the years that we were that Michigan State was bad. I mean,
I'll say this, it's
pretty self-contained.
It is. I feel like it is too. It's not like after every Saturday game I cover at Spartan Stadium, I'm reading in the news or watching on the local broadcast here on the 6 and 11 o'clock that something crazy happened in the stands. I never hear that.
No, I
don't hear that at all. And it seems pretty contained. Aaron says it's not for the kids; it's for the adults.
That's part of it too. Honestly, I mean, some of the old demographic. If it's cold,
well, what does Aaron mean by that? Is he talking about the fan experience? Not is does he mean when he says Aaron? When you say kids, are you talking about the students and the fan experience not being for the students, but for the adults who go to the games? Because that's totally wrong. If so, but he may mean.
I think he might mean the drinking side because how many of the older demographic of Spartan Stadium are going out and drinking as heavily as the. The student section, and I mean, how many people would want to go into Spartan Stadium and just say, "Hey, I want a beer to watch the game"?
Right. I know. Yeah. Just I hear you. I'm totally with you, man. So yeah, give me some clarification on. Okay. Aaron didn't comment. Aaron, give me some clarification on that comment. It's not for the kids. It's for the adults. What are you referring to when you say that? Okay. While you guys are continuing to weigh in, we're getting a lot of comments on this. I mean, yeah. When you talk, this is a hot topic, you know. And right now. When there's a lot of uncertainty with Michigan State, we don't know how good they're going to be. That also contributes a bit to why the ticket sales are down. And then no doubt about it, this home schedule is pretty bad.
And it's not going to shape up for another couple of years.
Right. When you look at the future schedules.
Yeah, it's not going to shape up. Barring a cosmic shift of some of these programs, the best Spartan games are going to be when they play the Big Ten. And you better hope that the Big Ten at least the Big Ten East stays where it is in the power structure and doesn't collapse.
Right, right. So true, man. So true. Okay. I want to transition to this before we hit our final break, Connor. But if you haven't heard, a Louisiana judge ordered that NFL commish Roger Goodell and three officials from January's NFC title game will be questioned under oath in September about the whole infamous no call that helped the LA Rams defeat the New Orleans Saints in that NFC title game. Antonio Lamon, attorney Antonio Lamon, he filed the lawsuit over that game that advanced the Rams to the Super Bowl. And they're going to pick a mutually agreeable date for depositions to happen in New Orleans. A league spokesman declined to comment. Lamon's lawsuit seeks $75,000 in damages, all to be donated to charity if they win this thing. But I just want to say this. To New Orleans fans, to the attorney who filed this, Antonio Lamon, to Nola, when will you get over this? Because if you don't, I'll just say this. If you don't, if the players don't, if this organization does not find a way to seek some therapy, do whatever you got to do to get over this. If you don't, because if you don't, there will be a major hangover effect that can be lasting. Because you know what troubled me? When this story broke, I went on social media, and I'm looking up reaction. That's how I try and put my finger on the pulse of the stories that we talk about and cover here on Current Sports. And Mark Ingram, Flint's own Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama, you know, pretty big running back for the Saints. He said, saw this on social media, he said that the Saints will never get over what happened in the NFC Championship game. And I have exhausted the reasons why I believe that Saints fans and Saints players, apparently, need to look in the mirror. We hate to look at the man in the mirror sometimes. Especially when something like that, we all know that was a blatant missed call. The referee should have thrown the flag, and who knows what would have happened after that. But I bring up the countless opportunities all the time when having this conversation. I've had this conversation, you know, with my cousins and my stepdad at the barber shop. I mean, multiple conversations about this, and I always bring this up. Because after the no call, what did the Saints do? They kicked a field goal, took the lead, went to overtime, and lost the game. That's not on you. You know, you had the lead. Wasn't that dry. You go to overtime. You're at home. You are at home in the playoffs. And you still lost. How about the two red zone appearances early on in that game? You know what you settled for? 6 points. Two field goals. You couldn't find six on either one of those possessions. Especially that second one when the Rams basically gave you great field position on a turnover. We hate to look at the man in the mirror. But again, when are you going to get over this? Still, you know, and looking at the Saints this upcoming year, if you don't get over this and if this thing lasts, there's going to be a tremendous hangover effect. Because looking at the Saints last season, near the end of last season, Drew Brees, he looked old at the end of last season. If you watched him, he looked old and tired, man. You look at the situation that's happening right now for this team. How about Max Unger? The famed center for you guys. He retires. That's a hole that you need to fill. You know, and then this whole sideshow, it kind of reminds me of what's happening with my Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott holding out. He's going to Mexico and training out there to stay in shape. My goodness, don't even get me started on that rant. But you got something similar happening with your big-time wideout and Michael Thomas. He's holding out for money. That's a big question mark for you guys. And then you look at the early schedule of the New Orleans Saints this upcoming season. It is without a doubt, without any debate, the toughest early schedule in the National Football League. Where you play the Texans, where you play, oh, everybody's going to be watching that game, right? Against the Rams. Then you play the Seahawks, and you play my Dallas Cowboys. That is a juggernaut of a schedule to begin the year. So if you are still hung up on what happened last season, you could get off to a really rocky start. And you may be still crying about, well, you may continue the crying because you will not be in the playoff picture. I truly believe that if you don't get over this and if you don't focus on the now, this could be lasting. And the fact that Roger Goodell and the three officials are going to have to testify or answer questions, excuse me, under oath, this has been way too blown out of proportion. It's ridiculous. It really is. I don't know, man. I just had to get that off my chest, Connor, because this is something, without a doubt, it's one of the worst calls in NFL history. But it's not like the Saints didn't have chances, and now this thing is going to court? Like, I mean, are we that soft as a society where we got to go to court for wrongdoings on the football field now in sport? How pitiful are we, dude? Come on, man. Any thoughts before I close this out?
I mean, I really don't care about it at this point. Let it go to. They're not going to get an award.
Right.
They're not going to get an award. So let it play out and let them lose again. If they do get awarded, though, it will be a really funny. It'll be a really funny turnaround how the NFL PR tries to spin it. So either way, it's a win for me. I will be entertained one way or another by either them losing in court and it finally going away, or them winning in court and then Roger Goodell has to find a way to spin this in a positive light. Either way, I'm winning.
Right. That's so true. That is very, very true. And the 75K, I guess this is the only cool part I liked about the story. If they do, in fact, win, the 75K will go to former Saints star Steve Gleason's charity to aid people with neuromuscular diseases. Of course, Gleason was diagnosed with ALS in 2011, sadly passed away. I watched the documentary on him, and it brought me to tears. So that is still, I guess that's a good part about the story. Okay, final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports. I'll bring to you a few interesting storylines coming out of Detroit Lions training camp. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I made a boo-boo, Connor. Can you correct me on this?
Steve Gleason is still alive.
Yes, thank you. I have done this before here on the show, and I'm always trying to, you know, end people before they
maybe you got to do what they do on like Levitar and have like a fine box every time you accidentally kill someone on air and just put some money into it.
Gosh, I feel so stupid, man. I'm sorry, Steve. But you know, I got mixed up because there is a player for the Saints that they did a documentary on, and he had, oh my goodness, what I guess it wasn't ALS, but he did a documentary on his struggles, and he ended up passing away. I have to look it up. I've got to look it up. You said, hold on, what'd you say, Connor?
Defensive end Will Smith was killed in a road rage incident, but I can't really think of any others, though.
Oh, gosh, who is it? Well, I guess it is Gleason. I guess he didn't pass. I don't know why I thought he passed away yet, because it's called.
He did a documentary that's really a really good documentary.
It's called Gleason. I watched it, and I don't know why. Maybe because I cried so much that I thought he died. I don't know. My goodness. All right. Thank you for that correction. Tomorrow, I want to comment on Dak Prescott and this whole Ezekiel Elliott holdout and what's going on with the Cowboys. Connor and I disagree. You believe they should pay Zeke. I don't agree with that.
It doesn't have to be ridiculous, but they just need to give him a little bit of money for it so he can shut up.
Mm-mm. I don't agree with that at all. I'll explain why tomorrow. Until then, please have a great Tuesday. Enjoy Moneyball tonight and be easy, people.